Our next panel is composed of the following witnesses: the Honorable Brenda Shamaimi Edwards, the Chairwoman of the Caddo Native Nation of Oklahoma, Binger, Oklahoma, and she's accompanied by Mr. Bobby Gonzalez, the NAGPRA Coordinator, Mr. Steve Tetler. I'm sorry, I don't have my glasses. The General Counsel of the San Carlos Apache Tribe, San Carlos, Arizona, accompanied by Mr.
Kevin Parsi,
the Titla and Parsi, Ms. D. Bambi Krause, the President, National Association of Tribal Historic Preservation Officers, Washington, D.C., Ms. Susan Bruning, the Chairwoman, the Repatriation Committee of the Society of American Archaeological, South Lake, Texas, and Mr. Colin Kippen, the former NAGPRA Review Committee member, Honolulu, Hawaii. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to the committee this morning. I apologize if I had some mispronunciations in there. We do have your prepared testimonies. They will be made part of the record as if actually read, and you may proceed in the order in which I introduced you.
Good morning. My name is Brenda Shamaimi Edwards, and I'm the chairwoman of the Caddo Nation of Oklahoma. I am here today to talk about funding issues we have with the Native American Graves Protection Repatriation Act. The United States of America has a legal responsibility to its citizens and dependent Indian nations to assure that its federal laws are carried out. NAGPRA developed a systematic process in determining the rights of culturally affiliated...
Excuse me just a minute. Could you pull that mic a little closer and maybe make sure it's turned on?
Can you hear me?
Better, yes.
Better. NAGPRA developed a systematic process in determining the rights of culturally affiliated descendants to certain Native American human remains, associated funerary objects, unassociated funerary objects, sacred objects, and objects of cultural patrimony as defined by NAGPRA. However, little funding has been made available to tribal governments to fulfill basic consultations and repatriations with repositories which house these collections. The funding made available has been highly competitive through the NAGPRA grant program with the National Park Service. NAGPRA funding levels have remained basically the same since its inception. For the past 15 years, around $2 million per year have been made available. The funding is highly competitive with no basis in actual need. As such, a tribe with millions of dollars from casino revenue monies have the same chance of getting a grant as a tribe like us with no casino revenue and limited financial resources. In 1994, the NAGPRA Review Committee recommended that Congress set aside $10 million for the first year of funding. However, only $2.3 million was set aside. In 2008, funding levels were at their lowest at under $1.58 million. The Caddo Nation of Oklahoma was one of the first tribes to submit and receive NAGPRA funding from the National Park Service in 1994. Southwest Arkansas, Northwest Louisiana, Eastern Oklahoma, and Northeast Texas have long been considered the Caddo homeland. Throughout every one of these states, and spread from the East Coast to the West Coast, Caddo human remains and funerary items continue to be housed and stored on shelves. Our NAGPRA office has worked tirelessly over the past 14 years to identify and repatriate human remains and funerary objects from across the United States. Just recently, we submitted a proposal to the Department of the Interior with some of the issues that we have faced. Currently, we know of over 130 different museums, universities, and repositories that hold collections of either human remains or funerary objects, along with unassociated funerary objects, sacred objects, and objects of cultural patrimony. The reality is, if we were to receive a NAGPRA grant each and every year, it would be at least 130 years before all of our human remains, associated funerary objects, unassociated funerary objects, sacred objects, and objects of cultural patrimony could be repatriated. We have recently been made aware that a large number of NAGPRA pending draft notices to be published in the Federal Register were pulled without consultation We would like to know who is responsible for pulling these notices and why they were pulled. For well over a century, burials in cemeteries containing human remains and funerary objects, sacred objects, and objects of cultural patrimony have been subjected to looting and collecting. Even today, there are numerous websites around on the internet that will buy, sell, and trade cattle funerary objects. There are also private museums that house and oftentimes buy, sell, and trade cattle funerary objects. In 2001, 21 cattle funerary vessels were stolen from the Texas Archaeological Research Laboratory at the University of Texas in Austin. A $10,000 reward went out, and the objects were eventually recovered. 5 years later, the University of Arkansas at Monona reported the theft of 26 cattle funerary objects. These objects are being held at the university on behalf of Vicksburg District Corps of Engineers and were to be repatriated back to the Cattle Nation. Federal investigations are ongoing, but these funerary objects have not been recovered. There are a number of new cattle museums being proposed across the homelands of the cattle. They receive their funding through a variety of means, through investors, universities, loans and local banks, donations and grants using the cattle collections that they have as leverage. Many of the repositories where cattle human remains and funerary objects are housed also continue to receive funding for research projects related to these collections to create educational tools for the general public. Yet our own cattle museum has only one small exhibit space, one full-time employee, and no support staff. Lastly, it is sad for me to note that our ancestors continue to be regarded as merely natural resources instead of human beings. I'm not aware of any other ethnical group who is subjected to the stereotype. I sincerely request that these important funding issues be addressed and corrected in such a way that the work that we have done in the past can continue on into the future. Repatriation is so very important for our people. The act of itself is a show of love and respect for our ancestors. Repatriation is also a way for our children to learn about where we came from and who we are as a unique culture. On behalf of the Cattle Nation membership, past and present, I thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Mr. Titla.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you for having this hearing on implementation of the NAGPRA Act. The Arizona Apache tribes work on repatriation matters jointly through the Western Apache NAGPRA Working Group. These tribes are the San Carlos Apache Tribe, White Mountain Apache Tribe, Tonto Apache Tribe, and the Apaches of the Yavapai Apache Nation. Since 1996, the Working Group has repatriated 302 sacred objects and objects of cultural patrimony from 20 institutions under NAGPRA and another 38 objects from the Smithsonian. We currently await the return of another 154 objects in pending claims. The objects that we claim are vitally important and alive, belonging to holy beings whose power infuses them. These objects must be properly returned and ritually cared for, or we suffer dire consequences in the Apache people. In the great majority of our claims, museums have embraced the spirit of NAGPRA and have worked with us in open and in good faith to repatriate these items in the most appropriate and expedient manner. Most museums have acknowledged that they should never have held these objects in the first place. Traditional responsible Apaches would never, now and in the past, willingly give up these items to a non-Apache for non-ritual use. Most of these objects were acquired, sometimes stolen, from Apache lands by museums at a time of extraordinary hardship, misery, and injustice for Apache people. Some agents of museums took deliberate advantage of these conditions to get these items at the expense of Apaches. We believe that NAGPRA is a form of civil rights legislation enacted as an attempt to right these past wrongs. For Apaches, righting these wrongs include healing the damage caused by the alienation of our powerful objects and the circumstances which compel that alienation. While the repatriation of these objects alone goes a long way in righting these wrongs, it does not fully facilitate healing for the Apache people. NAGPRA provides for further healing by allowing museums to state whether objects are sacred objects, objects of cultural patrimony, or a combination of these two. An acknowledgement that an item is an object of cultural patrimony is an admission that museums, at a minimum, have objects that are not rightfully their property, or at the maximum that they were at least a party to wrongdoing. Such an admission will help appease the holy beings who were wrong so many years ago and provides a measure of peace of mind to the Apache people. Currently, the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago and the American Museum of Natural History in New York are attempting to remove the key element of justice from NAGPRA. These museums have among the largest collections of sensitive Apache items and had agents who took egregious advantage of Apaches in order to acquire highly sensitive objects near the turn of the last century. These museums are refusing to classify Apache items specifically as sacred objects and objects of cultural patrimony, as claimed in the notices of intent to repatriate in the Federal Register, or even to meaningfully discuss the issue with us. In addition, these museums refuse, as an alternative to classifying these objects, to admit to any wrongdoing in collecting the items or to apologize for their actions. They are legally justified in this position, according to the current Park Service interpretation of NAGPRA. The Park Service allows museums to refer to items in the notices of intent to repatriate as merely cultural items, as opposed to sacred objects and or objects of cultural patrimony. We believe that this is a highly narrow and prejudicial view interpretation of the law. This interpretation demeans our powerful objects and the holy people to whom they belong, which we cannot allow. This interpretation removes any obligations from museums to explain their positions. Compounding the problem is the fact that the NAGPRA Review Committee can only make advisory findings and recommendations, while the working group has won twice before the review committee in formal disputes with museums. The museums chose not to follow the committee's recommendations. This, coupled with current Park Service interpretations of NAGPRA, has denied Apaches the full measure of the justice that NAGPRA is capable of providing. Chairman, it looks like I'm out of time, but you have my statement. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Kraus?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity today to present testimony on the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. I am representing the National Association of Tribal Historic Preservation Officers. We are the only national Indian organization of tribal government officials who are committed to preserving, rejuvenating, and protecting Native cultures and practices throughout the United States. NAFBO Chairman Reno Franklin is unable to be here today, and he sends his regrets. Today's hearing is about America's living history, a uniquely American history, and how, as Americans, we treat our dead and how we treat the sacred cultural objects that play an important role in the living cultures of today. About 20 years ago, Native and non-Native people worked together to craft the legislation known as NAGPRA. NAFBO acknowledges Congressman Mo Udall and Congressman George Miller of this committee, along with Walter Echohawk, Jack Trope, and Jerry Flute, who, without their foresight and work, we wouldn't have had NAGPRA in the first place. And, you know, the bottom line in terms of NAGPRA is it is a federal law. It's federal Indian law, and it was created for the benefit of Indian tribes and Native Hawaiians. In a few weeks, the 19th anniversary of the signing of the act will occur, and it is that span of 19 years that I'd like to discuss today. And even though NAFBO is not a well-funded organization, we devoted a substantial amount of our meager resources over the past 3 years to evaluate how the federal agencies are complying with the law. It's out of a sense of duty and responsibility to both the living and the dead that we took on this task. We do it for Indian communities of today who are forgotten and neglected in the rural parts of Indian country. And we did it for our dead, for our ancestors who were never intended to be housed in federal repositories and museums throughout the land, being used for scientific testing at the whim of the latest theory. A year ago, NAFPO released a national report on how federal agencies are complying with the Act. We identified many challenges and barriers to success in Indian country. That report, done collaboratively by the Makah Tribe of Washington and NAFPO, was the first in-depth report of its kind, and we listed many recommendations on how to improve the process so that it serves its audience, Indian country, and this is a copy of the report. I'm calling it the Makah Report. Among the Makah Report's findings and recommendations for improvement are the following. Provide adequate resources for Indian tribes, Native Hawaiian organizations, and federal agencies necessary to comply with the Act. Improve both the quality and access to information in the NAGPRA process. Develop and publish in the Federal Register a tribal consultation step-by-step process so that an open and transparent process is available to all. Develop and offer appropriate training for Native people and federal officials. Improve the content and guidelines on using the culturally unidentifiable Native American inventories database. So that's just a short list of the recommendations we included in the report to improve the Act and how it's being implemented. I'd like to comment specifically on the culturally unidentifiable Native American inventories database. In the legislative process that created NAGPRA, it was estimated that there were approximately 100,000 to 200,000 Native Americans who could be repatriated using this act. It's with great sadness to report that after 19 years, two out of every three Native Americans of that estimated amount still have not been repatriated, and in fact, they are now listed as culturally unidentifiable, with little likelihood of being repatriated unless the system is improved. Again, two out of three Native Americans, over 123,000 Native Americans, are now listed as culturally unidentifiable, and they remain languishing on museum shelves. And just to give you an idea of what 123,000 people, known to be Native Americans, but 123,000 people is roughly the size of Bellevue, Washington, or New Haven, Connecticut, or Topeka, Kansas. This indicates that there is much work to be done. NAFPO appreciates the committee's time today to hear about this important act. Since this hearing was announced and since NAFPO was listed as a witness, I've received numerous pleas from around the country, from Native people and tribal communities around the country, asking me to tell their story, asking NAFPO to tell their story, and to tell someone about the struggle that they have in their own communities to try and implement this act, and to make it work for them and for their tribal communities. The people who have the most at stake, Native people who know their dead, who know their sacred objects, and the stories that go along with those objects, may not be here today to testify for themselves, and they might not be here in person, but I've been asked to relay their thanks to the committee for your ability to talk about something that's so important on a very local level. I'll be happy to answer any questions the committee may have for me at later time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Chairwoman Bruning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Susan Bruning. I'm chair of the Repatriation Committee for the Society for American Archaeology. And thank you as well to the ranking member Hastings and to the rest of the committee for welcoming us here today. NAGPRA has accomplished a great deal over the past 19 years. Extensive repatriation of human remains and other cultural items from both museum collections and from recent excavations has occurred, and it continues to occur, through much effort and collaborative work among tribes, museums, and federal agencies. NAGPRA has also led to innovative solutions for other disposition needs, and it's facilitated the forging of important and long-lasting relationships among the parties involved. The Society believes that these successes are due to the fact that NAGPRA and the processes it creates are founded upon a carefully crafted balance among Native Americans, museums, and scientists who are involved, and that the parties achieving these successes share mutual respect for the varied interests at stake and for the law that underpins these activities. The crux of NAGPRA is to enable Native American tribes to locate and determine appropriate resolutions for the future care and repose of ancestral human remains and important cultural items that have been removed from their places of origin. NAGPRA also facilitates opportunities to learn about the past as tribal experts and scholars work together to investigate and understand relationships of shared group identity between the past and the present. The way in which Congress chose to operationalize this search for a reasonably close cultural relationship is through the concept of cultural affiliation. Cultural affiliation is the foundation upon which this balance of interests rests. It provides a mechanism that enables the descendant communities to obtain control over the disposition of their ancestral remains and important cultural items, where a reasonably traceable relationship to an earlier group can be established. Where such a relationship has not yet been established, the law enables the search for cultural affiliation to continue, and it protects those items and information for the benefit of future generations. The Society has worked diligently to support a balanced and fair implementation of the Act with the explicit language and consistent with the legislative history as well of the law. In recent years, however, the Society has had and has expressed growing concern about imbalance in certain areas of the law's implementation. For instance, in the proposed rule drafted by the National NAGPRA Office relating to disposition options for culturally unidentifiable human remains, the proposed regulation suggests that quick and complete removal of human remains from curatorial institutions is more important than allowing time for the parties to continue working together to seek knowledge and understandings about relationships of shared group identity. The Society supports processes that allow parties time and flexibility to work together without the pressure of arbitrary deadlines as they develop knowledge about cultural connections and develop options for caring for human remains and cultural objects that have been removed from their places of origin. Issues such as the need to check for toxic contaminants that are present in some curated items highlights the need for tribes, museums, and scientists to work together thoroughly and thoughtfully. The best solutions are customized. They take time, they take resources, they take effort, and they take trust. And trust comes through relationship building and ground-up collaboration among parties who work together to seek appropriate and well-informed solutions. The many productive relationships that have been established over nearly 20 years of joint effort among those with a diversity of interests is best served by ensuring that those implementing the law and any forthcoming changes to the law support the balance of interests that is built into NAGPRA. Those seeking to carry out the purposes and the spirit of NAGPRA need to work together with transparency of purpose and without arbitrary deadlines in order to achieve sound and respectful solutions. On behalf of the Society for American Archaeology, thank you for the opportunity to appear here today. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Collian. Sorry.
Aloha. Aloha, Chairman Rahal, Ranking Member Hastings, and other members of the House Resources Committee. Aloha also to your staff, to my fellow testifiers, and those who are listening today to our words. I am Colin Kippen, and I am testifying before the House Resources Committee as a private citizen. I served on the NAGPRA Committee for 4 years, and I recently cycled off that committee. I am the first and only Native Hawaiian ever to have served on that committee. I come before you today with three very simple messages to send. The first is that NAGPRA is an incredibly complex and technical piece of legislation that was constructed around a very simple human ideal: to respect the human rights of Native people, to possess and care for the remains and cultural property of their ancestors. It was intended to change the status quo of where human remains and cultural property belonging to Native people sat on museum shelves, sat in boxes, and basically were not in the possession and care of the people who owned them. This process is extremely complex and technical. It is a process that will not move forward unless there is capacity to change the status quo. In my comments that I have written, I have pointed out to you that I think that the place we need to begin these conversations is to ask what it is that the Native people need to be able to make this process work. Because if the process doesn't work for them, then the harm continues unabated. And so what I believe we need, which has been already mentioned to you on this committee, is we need resources. We need to build the capacity. But as we build that capacity, we need to be sure that the capacity that we build is aligned to the people that we're trying to serve. And in this case, the people that we're trying to serve are the Native people. I have, in my testimony, listed a series of things that are recommendations that I think can be done. I would expect that these changes would be done in such a way that they would be aligned and of relevance to the people that we're trying to assist, that is, Native Americans. Capacity also needs to be built for museums and federal institutions. And there is now ongoing, to my understanding, a government accountability report that will address that. There's a second point that I'd like to make, and that is this. We have yet to define what success looks like under this NAGPRA program. And if you have not defined success, then how is it you will know when you've arrived there? I believe that what we need is a clear metric of what success means so that all will be able to judge their performance against it. Once you have a clear metric, what then happens is that the agencies responsible for implementing NAGPRA will have a benchmark against which they will be measured. And when you, at your discretion, have oversight hearings, you will have a way to measure whether they're making progress. Presently, there is no metric. Presently, the system is one that is not working well. Finally, the third point I'd like to make is the issue about the review committee. The review committee has a number of responsibilities that range from fact-finding to what I consider policy recommendation making. That is a huge set of functions. And to my way of thinking, the NAGPRA Review Committee simply does not have the time or the resources to do the work to which it has been assigned. For example, at most of our meetings, when we show up for the meetings, we have binders that are this thick, double-sided, and we have 2 days to go through our agenda. And what this information primarily relates to are disputes or for requests for regarding culturally unidentified human remains and cultural items. This is fact-finding. This is very detailed, and it is very technical in nature. Because all of our time is consumed with doing that, we don't have time to do the other work, which is to see whether or not this system is working and how to assist the staff and how to set the kinds of priorities and plans that will allow us to manage this program in a better way. I thank you for the time, I thank you for the opportunity, and I thank you for listening.